Welcome, Philip. So we are holding on Lamadhei Amud Beis near the bottom. We're holding about 10 lines from the bottom, when we can come off this. Thank you. Okay, we started discussing the question. We said in Reb Shimon in the Mishnah says that if an animal is shechted and no blood came out, doesn't matter whether there was blood to be machshir l'chavel tumah, just the shechita itself makes it machshir l'chavel tumah. So we had Reb Asi telling us that actually it's not only Reb Shimon saying that shechita is that. Not only Reb Shimon is saying that shechita is machshir l'chavel tumah, he's in addition, while you're in there, can you turn the air conditioner off, because it's turn the set point higher if it's cold in here. Okay? Thank you. Okay, so Reb Asi had said, not only is Reb Shimon says that shechting an animal is machshir l'chavel tumah, but he says exactly the opposite of the Chachamim, the blood of the shechita will not be machshir l'chavel tumah.
Right.
Reason is, we said that Reb Shimon is learning that we say that where do we learn b'chlal that blood is one of the shiva mashkin that's matzal l'kabel tumah, because you have an expression in the pasuk the dam chalol in yishteh in Bilam brachas that the blood of the killed ones he will drink, metaphorically meaning that the Jewish people will devour the riches and whatever of their enemies. But besides that, it's not even a question of drawing halacha. It shows that dam is referred to with an expression of drinking. Even though blood itself is not something we're allowed to drink, but since metaphorically it's used in that context, then therefore we can say that means it's one of the shiva mashkin. So Reb Shimon therefore takes it literally. It means only dam chalali. So therefore he says that, so again, we have three types of blood then. You have blood of an animal that was shechted. You have blood of a mesa, of an animal that died on its own, and you have dam of an animal that was killed. So we have a chalol who certainly hold is machshir l'chavel tumah. So Rav Asi is saying that Rav Shimon would say neither of the other kind, not dam ames and not dam shchita. So the last thing we brought was a braisa, where Rav Shimon says dam ames eni machshir. And he said, well, if he holds that dam shchita is not machshir, was he mentioned that, we'll understand dam ames from it. And the answer is, because just the other way around, we might have thought that dam ames is more similar to dam chalolim, because in both cases, it died without shchita. Dying with shchita is a separate thing, that would be called zavuach. You could argue that when the animal died naturally, or when it was killed in some other way other than shchita, either way it counts as chalolim. In one case, it's killed by the balach hamon. Is it? Thank you. In one case, it was killed by the Malach HaMavis, in the other case, it was killed by the person. No, Reb Shimon is telling us that it's not, and we understand automatically that we understand already, there's no question, he would say that Dam Shchita is very dissimilar from Dam Chalolim, and therefore, for sure, it's not Machshir. So that's where we're holding. Just to mention, we mentioned briefly at the end yesterday that Tosfos says that the dam chalolim that we're talking about over here, the dam chalolim and dam mesa and whatever, is actually, we're not talking about blood from an animal that died or was killed or what have you, we're talking about blood from a person that died or was killed or what have you. Shchit, obviously, we're talking about an animal, but the other kinds we're talking about, Tosfos says we're talking about blood from a person.
What's the connection between the similarities of dam and the Asharas Tumah?
Because we know that dam is one of the shiva mashkin, so therefore there's no question that some kind of dam is machshir l'chavel tumah, but what kind? The Chachamim say it broadly, any kind of blood.
Yeah.
Reb Shimon is drawing it more narrowly, only something that's very only dam chalolim or something very similar, because it says dam chalolim. There is also the fact. I mean, we're going to bring other psukim in this connection as well. When it comes to shchita, you have a pasuk ala aris tishvachenu kamoyim, that blood is poured on the ground like water.
Yeah.
And therefore, in fact, Tosfos says that's just it. Actually, if you didn't have that pasuk, you would say, you know what? You would also have to draw it more narrowly. You would say dam chalolim means only when the animal or person was killed or whatever. Only because we have this pasuk, ala aris tishvachenu kamoyim, which already means that it applies to shchita as well, do we have to draw it more broadly. Reb Shimon is Because once we have that, then we have...
So it's exactly,
right. So whereas Rav Shimon is using that pasuk for a different purpose, as we're going to say.
The first one you should say, it's not Mashiach Tumah.
So he says that Dam Shchita is not Mashiach Lekabel Tumah. That's exactly what we're saying. That's exactly what Rav Asi is telling us, Rav Shimon is saying.
Based on this pasuk?
Based on Vedam Kalol and Yishte, and the fact that Rav Shimon is going to use the pasuk Allah Ordet Tishpachenu Kamoyim for a different purpose, for a different living.
Right.
So then that's the point. In other words, if we didn't have that second pasuk, or if the Chachamim also used it for a different limud, they wouldn't have a source either to say that Dam or Meita or Shchita or whatever is Machshir. Only because they have that pasuk and they don't use it for the purpose that Rav Shimon is using it for, therefore they have it available to tell us, okay, so you got one pasuk that talks about Dam Chalolim, you have another one that talks about Shchita, so obviously it's not a question whether the animal was killed by a person or by the Malach HaMavet, or whether it's Shachot or Zavuach, or whether it's Zavuach, or Cholol or what have you, in all cases. Yeah, exactly.
There's no specific area where the dam is connected to Tumah.
Well, I mean, we're talking about being Machshir Lekabel Tumah. You're asking if the blood itself is...
If there is source that clearly says that the dam is Machshir Tumah.
That's, we have these two psukim, Vedam Chololim Yishter and Allah Aris Tishpachanu Kamoyim. That's about as direct as we get. The only one that it says in so many words in the pasuk is Mashal Lekabel Tumah is water. The Chiyutan Mayim Alzer Avinachom Minigolasimol. Right, but the other ones we all learn. We have the other six liquids we find in one place or another in Chumash or in Tanakh. We find that they're mentioned in connection with drinking, or kind of the term Mashker or the term Shasa or whatever is used in connection with them, and therefore we can learn that.
It's not a heckish, it's
strong enough to say everybody agrees to the list of seven liquids. There's no machloikas on that. There's a machloikas about, for example, in this case, what kind of dam. Well, you have a couple of other ones as well, but okay. Fine. Toshma, Reb Shimon Omer, we learn in a b'rayt, and another b'rayt, that Reb Shimon says, dam magi fosa yeni machshir. The blood of a wound, magefasa means a wound. Rashi says like kentigos for even naglata, not magefa like a killing or plague or whatever, like the magefas and like the magefas in this week's parasha. But it means an injury. The blood of an injury is not machshir. Again, Rashi would say we're talking about an injury of an animal. Tosfos would say we're talking about an injury of a person. Whatever. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says that's not machshir. Again, my love hadam shchita machshir. Again, the implication seems to be only saying that kind of thing is not machshir because that's very dissimilar to dam chalolim. But apparently, the implication is he would say that dam shchita is machshir, not like Rav Asi is explaining. The answer is yes. No, not necessarily. He might mean hadam chalolim machshir. He means dam magefa is as opposed to dam chalolim from an animal that was killed some other way other than shchita. That one is machshir. Dam magefa is not. But again, the question is, because dam chalolim is machshir because of the pasuk, but dam magefa, he would say, is not. And he would say, what about dam shchita? He's not even addressing that in this braisa. So that's the question. Aval dam shchita mai lo machshir. So what are you telling me? Shimon would say that dam of shchita is not machshir? Same question as on the previous braisa. Lishma inan dam shchita v'choshek in dam magefa. In that case, then this braisa should have been phrased. Reb Shimon should tell us that dam shchita is not machshir. And we would understand from that, if dam shchita, where the animal at the end of the shchita is dead, is not machshir, how much more so dam magefa, where at the end of it the animal is only injured?
But it's not.
That is not. So in other words, if he mentions only dam magefasa in this braisa, maybe we should understand that he only holds dam magefasa is not machshir. So in other words, now let's say, based on everything we've said so far, we have four kinds of blood. You have dam shchita, you have dam chalolim, you have dam mesa of an animal that died on its own, and now we also have dam magefa. Yeah. So if Rav Shimon wants to tell us, like Rav Asi is saying, that dam magefa is not machshir, he could have done it in two ways. He could have said, as he does directly in the braisa, that it's not machshir, but that leaves us uncertain about shchita. Or he could have said, dam shchita is not machshir, and we would understand on the face of it. If even dam shchita is not machshir, even though the animal's dead at the end of it, in that sense, it's like dam chalolim, how much more so dam magefa, where the animal's only injured? The answer is no. Just the opposite. Dam magefasi, just the opposite. Rav Shimon felt was a bigger chiddush in telling us about blood from a wound. Again, safedai d'chamina, because otherwise you would think, as the logic that the Gemara uses in some other places in Shas, mali katla kula, mali katla palga, after all, what's the difference between killing a half and killing the whole thing? In other words, in a certain sense, an injury is like a minor way of killing something. So it's not. I mean, obviously it's not completely similar. At the end, one is alive and one is not. But nevertheless, you do have this concept in other places in Shas that there's not that much, in a certain sense, there's not much difference between sort of like semi-killing something by wounding it and causing blood to flow out versus completely killing it and it's completely dead at the end. One thing is, I mean, as far as the malacha of the Shabbos, for example, you have a malacha of shoychet and a tolda of shoychet that's causing an animal to bleed. So you have such cases, but so just the opposite. Because dam magefase has a certain similarity to dam chalolim, therefore you would think that maybe it is machshel kabel truma, and therefore he has to tell you that not. But shchita, again, we would say, Reb Shimon would say, there's no havam meaning even to think that it should be machshel kabel truma. It's very dissimilar to dam chalolim, because dam chalolim involves where the animal was killed in some other way. Dam shchita has a different name. It's not called a cholol at the end of the process. It's called zavuach. So therefore, no reason to think that it should be machshel kabel truma.
And magefa.
Dam magefa would be, but that's the thing. Reb Shimon could argue, mali katla, kol mali katla palga. You might think that dam magefa is somewhat similar to dam chololim, and therefore you have to tell us that now. Okay.
In what respect?
It's not similar because one's alive and one's dead, but it's similar in the sense mali katla, kol mali katla palga. What's the difference between killing halfway and killing the whole way? In other words, again, magefa is sort of like so to speak, you could call it the beginning of killing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why do you call half? They're all complete.
Well, half, not 50%, in other words, but half as in partial.
Of which one?
Magefa.
It's the beginning.
It's the beginning. Yeah, well, no, the animal is alive at the end of the magefa, but because it's only injured. But
it's
only injured, but still, injury is the beginning of killing, you could say, so to speak. Okay, fine. Okay, so now that we've established, so fine, we don't have any contradiction against Rav Asi, so fine, we can accept his understanding of Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon is saying only dam chalolim, so now we have to ask why. Umay shna dam chalolim demachshir. After all, what should be the difference? Why is Rav Shimon saying dam chalolim, blood of an animal, or person, as Kreutzer says, that was killed in some other way other than shchita, is machshel kabel truma? The reason obviously must be dichtiv dam chalolim yishted, based on this pasuk from Parshas Balak that mentions the word yishted, drinking, in connection with dam chalolim. Well, by that logic, shchita nami, dam shchita nami. By that logic, blood of shchita should also be machshel kabel truma, ksiv ala aretz tishpachenu kamoyim. Because you have a pasuk that says that when you shecht an animal, you should spill out the blood on the ground like water, so that should create a comparison between blood and water. Water is machshel kabel truma, so is blood of shchita. Why does the Shimon not accept that? The answer is how who the mishri
kish
b'chenu. You should pour.
That's the only similarity.
Okay, that's the point is that it didn't have to say like kamoyim. Obviously, if we know it's poured, it could mean like water. But the point is, obviously, the pasuk wants to show there's a certain comparison between blood and water.
And that's the comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer is Rav Shimon would say that pasuk teaches us a different thing. How who the mishri domin b'tzulam akushin b'hanahu da'asa. That pasuk is actually coming to teach us that when you have Sulei HaMakdoshin, you have a, because that's the context in which this pasuk comes, you have an animal that was meant for a korban, and then it became possible in one way or another, and you were poide, so now it's chulin. Now you still have certain rules, even after you were poide, Sulei HaMakdoshin, you still have certain rules about them that are different than regular animals. There are certain things that you can't do with them that you could with regular animals. So therefore, the mishris dominant Sulei HaMakdoshin, no, da'asa. So therefore, the chiddush of that pasuk is to teach us the blood of the psulei makdashin is mutar b'hanah.
Which blood?
Of psulei makdashin. When you have a psulei makdashin, you have a cow or a sheep or a goat that you meant to bring as a korban, and now you can't, and you opposed it. But now, when you shecht it, you're allowed to have hanah from the blood. Just like water is mutar b'hanah, so the blood is mutar b'hanah. Now, why do we need that? Who does this come? Why do we need that? Sakhud of Shimon would say, Sakhud of Chamina, because you would think to say like this. Hoyo v'asiri begiz of avoida. Given that you have, there are certain dinim that still apply to these Sulei HaMakdoshin. You're still never allowed to shear them and use the wool. You're still never allowed to work with them. And also, Rashi brings us another one as well, which Tosfos mentions is more relevant to our sugya over here, which is you're also not allowed to use the milk from them. So therefore, you would think that since you still have those wools, maybe also domon liboy kvora, maybe then you would say the blood of such an animal after you shecht it, maybe it should be also banah, and like many other isurei hanah, you should have to bury it. From Ashmalon, that is why the pasuk tells us, that you're allowed to have hanah from it just like water. the Tosfos spells out. The point is like this, in other words. When you have, for example...
Now you can have it, you cannot use it for carbon.
No, well, the animal is fossil for carbon, and obviously the blood is not usable for carbon, and that's the point. In other words, the Tosfos spells out, what it means is like this. When you have an animal with Sulam Akdashim like that, so for example, you're not allowed to shear it. However, if you did shear it, b'di'evad, not b'di'evad, whatever, the wool is mutter b'hanah. The wool is the wool is maybe also b'hanah midraban, but midaraisa it would be mutter. So therefore, so on the other hand, though, on the other hand, the fact is, you have a pasuk that says that you're allowed to eat the basar, from which we learn that that's a miut, meaning you're only allowed to eat the basar, you're not allowed to eat the cholov. So you would think by the same way, basar comes to exclude the dam. Now, dam you can't eat, obviously, but you might be able to have you. So you would think maybe basar comes to exclude, you can't have hana from the dam. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, that's what Allah Arif Tishpachanu Kamayim teaches us, don't do that. Realize that the word basar comes to exclude cholov, but not to exclude dam. That's the point of it, says Rav Shimon.
It's excluding
cholav, that the word basar in that pasuk is excluding cholav, and you would think it would also exclude dam, and therefore the cholav would be also to drink, and the dam would be also to have on it. Comes the pasuk, Allah Arishish B'chanukamayim, and tells us that now. Whereas apparently the Chachamim take the view that we don't need that, the dam and the cholav are not, after all, exactly the same thing. One's also to one you have isu achila, the other one you're talking about, you want to have an isu hanah, and there's no reason to. Okay, so the Chachamim would argue, therefore, they're not the same. Reb Shimon considers that there's enough of a similarity between them.
What's
that
similarity?
The similarity is they're both liquids that come from the animal, and both of them might have been excluded.
Cholav is liquid?
Cholav is milk. Of course,
it's milk.
Yeah, not chela. No, cholav, milk.
Right.
Yeah. So therefore, so Reb Shimon says that therefore you would need that.
So therefore,
you need the pasuk. You need the pasuk. Allah Arutish B'chano Kamayim to tell us, don't do that. Realize that the blood is mutabana. Okay. Fine. Gemara continues. Tanad ve Rabbi Shmuel. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a braisa.
What's
the halacha? Okay, well, the halacha is like the chacham. Okay. Tanad ve Rabbi Shmuel. This pasuk v'dam chalol in yishteh. This pasuk which Rabbi Shimon has been using to teach us that only blood of chalolim is mashal the kabel truma, not the other kind. Tana Bred Rabbi Shmuel says that it means something different. V'dam chalol nishte, pras v'dam kiluach she'enim mashal v'tazroim. It comes to exclude blood of kiluach. Kiluach means where it gushes forth, which is not mashal the kabel truma. What do we mean by blood that gushes forth? They have a couple of different explanations. Rashi explains like this. We're not talking anymore about blood of shechtin. Now we're talking about more like the blood of a wound. So similar to the last thing we were talking about before, dam mage kosa. It means like this, Rashi says. Rashi brings from based on a Gemara in Krisis. When you let blood from an animal, or a person for that matter, you have several stages in it. First you have, when you first puncture the blood vessel, the vein, you have like one or two drops start coming out. Then it starts gushing forth. Then after a while, it starts darkening, which I guess at that point means you're getting the non-oxygenated blood, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, and then eventually it stops gushing. Rashi learns that dam kiluach that we're talking about over here is talking about that second stage where it's gushing forth before it starts turning dark. Rashi learns based on the Gemara and Krisis over there, it says over there that the kind of blood that a person would be high at karis for eating, and also for our purposes that would be considered mashal kabel truma, is dam shan nefesh yotzebay. And Rashi explains dam shan nefesh yotzebay won't be the gush of blood; it'll be when it starts getting a darker red. So therefore, Rashi says that's what Tanad Vei Rabbi Shmuel means, that second stage, when it's gushing forth, it's not yet Dam Shan Nefesh Yotzebay, therefore it's not Mashal Kabel Truma. Only when it reaches the next stage after that is it called, when it starts darkening.
Before then,
when it's bright red, then it's not right. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has some problems with that. Based on a different analysis of the Gemara and Christus over there. So the Tosfos actually learns the other way around, actually. As far as the stages that it goes through. So, So what is it? So dam kiluach is when it gushes forth is the blood that neshama yotze by. So what it is Tosfos says, you say starts by coming out darker, then it starts coming out bright red. There's not yet kiluach, there's not yet this gush. Then there's kiluach where it starts gushing, and after that, where the flow gradually decreases. So our Gemara over here that's saying that dam kiluach is not matcher is basically because at the point where there's kiluach already, then it's already la'acha misa.
Dam kiluach,
where it's gushing forth, is already after the tipa hamashter. So Tosfos learns the opposite of Rashi. Rashi learns that once it's mashter, once it starts getting darker, that's when neshama yotzei. And then Tosfos says, no, what it means is that happens before the kiluach, before the gush, and it's at that point that it says considered neshama yotzei. So there's the light.
Before the gushing,
basically, yeah. It may depend on what kind of blood vessel you puncture. I don't know. Whatever it is, that's close to the left. Okay, fine. You have another
explanation. Has to be arterial blood.
Okay. The venous blood would also gush. No, at least in pulses. Okay, in pulses it will. I don't know. Okay, anyway. Again, it probably also depends which blood vessel you puncture. All right, it's different explanations. You have also that Rambam understands that dam tiluach over here means the blood that gushes out during shchita. So it means, in other words, that to a slight extent, then it means that Rambam is accepting Rav Shimon's opinion that dam shchita ain't a masher, but he's distinguishing within dam shchita itself. You have different stages in it. Some of them are masher, some of them are not.
The ones that are masher are the ones that are.
Let's look at what Rambam says. He says that when we say that dam is one of the shiva mashkin, this is the blood that drifts down during shchita from behema chayva oif. But dam kiluach, but the blood that's gushing, he says ain't in masher because the blood's still alive. So therefore, at that point, the animal's still alive. At that point, it's like dam magesa. It's only the blood of a wound.
So that's the arterial blood. That's not dam magesa.
I guess. Yeah. Turn it up.
The ones that Yotzan Efesh is the...
So according to the Rambam, well, he doesn't specifically say, he says during Dama Kiluach, while it's gushing, it means that Daim Chaim Haim, the animal is still alive. So therefore, it's not yet similar to Dam Shchita. He would say that Dam Shchita is only later on. So according to both Rashi and Tosfos, we're not really talking about Shchita per se over here. We're talking about Hakaza. We're talking about bloodletting. According to the Rambam, we're actually talking about Shchita. Okay.
When it stops gushing, it's Dam Shchita?
That's what the Rambam would apparently say. Yeah, when it's choices, when it's like not gushing, but just flowing, sort of.
But maybe it's because there's not much blood left in the system.
Could also be. But that's that point. That's Dama Nefesh, and the animal dying from lack of blood. Okay.
No, it could have been dying before.
Okay, well, the point is that that's the last life force of it is going out with that. All right, let's go. Turn it up. Hashoichet behitiz dam ala blah. Suppose a person is shechting, and during the shchita, or at the beginning of the shchita, Rashi says, blood spritzed onto a pumpkin that was nearby there.
Yeah.
So what's the din? Is that pumpkin mukshel lekabel tumah? Depends. Rebbe omer hukshar, or chiyah omer tovin. Rebbe says, yes, the pumpkin is mukshel lekabel tumah, because blood is one of the shiva mashkin. And Rav Chiya says that no, tolin, which usually tolin would mean, usually tolin means we're not sure. If this thing, for example, was with cholin, it wouldn't matter, of course. But with truma or kodshim, tolin means we're not sure whether it's tomei or tahor. Therefore, we have to keep it in suspense. We can't allow it to become further tomei, but we can't eat it over here. We can't eat it either. We have to wait to see what develops with it. So that's usually what tolin means. And the Braisa continues, Amar of Oshia, me'acha shev Rebbe oimah hukshav v'rabchiyah oimah tolin. So I don't know what to do. Rebbe says that it's mukshav l'kabel tumah, so it's definitely tomei later on if tumah touches it. And Rabchiyah says we're not sure that tolin. Onu al mimismech, the Rav Oshia says, so who are we supposed to rely on? What should we do as the actual halacha? Boyu v'nismech al divir Rav Shimon. So he says, come, in that case, we'll have to rely on what Rav Shimon says. Shahoy Rav Shimon and the shchita machsheres v'loidam. We would just establish that Rav Shimon says blood is not mashal the kabel truma at all. In other words, therefore, it won't be. There won't be an issue. It's not, therefore this pumpkin can't be, therefore this pumpkin is not able yet to become tall.
According to
Rav Shimon, yes. So the Rav Oshia is saying, but the Rav Oshia is saying, given that we have this stuff. Now, you have a number of them. Mepharshim asked the question, what kind of a suffix? We know the general rule is that halacha ke Rebbe mechaveira. When you have a machlokes between Rebbe and one other Tana, or one other Tana, the halacha is like Rebbe. Especially over here, if the other one who's arguing is Rav Chiya, who was Rebbe Talmud, before Abaya and Rava, we usually pass him like the Rebbe above the Talmud, over the Talmud. So what kind of suffix is Rav Oshia having over here? So they have a variety of different answers, including maybe it's not Rav Chiya over here, you have Kitvayab,
Generally speaking, Rav Chiya was
Rebbe Talmud. And in fact, there's a couple of places where the Gemara has an expression, Rav Chiya Rebbe Leishnar, Rav Chiya Minayim. If Rebbe didn't teach a certain din, then how would Rav Chiya even know of it? Like, in other words, everything that Rav Chiya knows, he gets from Rebbe, basically. So in that case, what's the topic over here? So you have the Kitvayab, the Shittim Kubetis brings up the Rav Kitvayab, where the Girsa is not Rav Chiya, but rather Rav Achya, who was an earlier Tana, so therefore maybe the halacha is like him over Rebbe. Or you have various other possibilities.
So later we make the halacha, no?
No, before Abaya, up to Abaya and Robert, usually the earlier one.
The earlier one?
Yes.
After Abaya?
From Abaya and Robert, not halacha kibasra, yes. But so there's that consideration, maybe. So there, you also have the consideration that maybe because, again, we did have Reb Shimon before, who's saying, as Reb Oshia is pointing out, you have Reb Shimon saying that the blood is b'chal not machshel l'kabel truma. So maybe, as the Gemara is going to say, maybe as the Gemara itself is going to say, maybe what it is you have two against one. Maybe Rebbe is outnumbered. Yeah, there are a number of different reasons why maybe we should have a suffix. Maybe also there's the fact that since Reb Chiya is being machmir over Rebbe, maybe we have to, if Reb Chiya said it's definitely Tomei, it's definitely Moksha, fine, you could say we'll ignore him in favor of Rebbe. But because he's saying to be machmir, it's not a suffix, maybe we have to consider his suffix. Okay, so you have a few different guys. Okay. Actually, I shouldn't say he's machmir. He's sort of nafal, because Rebbe is saying it's definitely hochshir, and Reb Chiya is saying chosen. So no, that's what it is. Since he's possibly being nafal, then yeah. Okay. Fine. Omer Apapa. So Apapa says, let's clarify the machlokes. Hakol moedim, everybody would agree, both Rebbe and Reb Chiya would agree, hecha de'iste ledan mitchila v'adzai. When the blood is there on the pumpkin from the beginning of the shechita till the end. So swift onto the pumpkin at the beginning of the shechita, and then it was still there when you finished checking the second sinning. Kula amolei tzvi demachshir. Everybody will agree that it is mukshal kabel truma, because at that point it's definitely considered dam shechita, and we established before that according to the chachamim, dam shechita is like water, and it's mukshal kabel truma. Ki pligi, the machloitas of Reb Chiya and Rebbe would be, what if you shechted one simen, blood came out and got onto the pumpkin, then, the pashas, by the way, the reason why we're mentioning a pumpkin is because if it was any other food and you had blood on it, you have problems anyway. You can't eat the food that absorbs blood, but a pumpkin is hard. You can just wipe it off. I would imagine that's the reason. Anyway, whatever it is, in principle, but we had the other day also by when we talked about checking the part of Adroma and accidentally cutting a glass at the same time. Maybe it's like pumpkins, glass, maybe are more likely to be around when you're checking animals or whatever rather than other foods. Maybe taco for that reason, because if blood gets on them, it's easy enough to clean it off. I don't know. Or maybe because they use the same, maybe they use the same knives to shech the animals and to cut jack-o' lanterns. I don't know. Anyway.
Cutting pumpkins.
Yeah. Okay, whatever it is, anyway. The machlokas would be, suppose you shechted the first simen, blood came out and got onto the pumpkin, then you wiped it off, then you continued with the shechita. Not enough necessarily, we learned the other day. Shehiya with an animal, you have different opinions how much shehiya there has to be. But whatever it is, you could also have that one person is doing the shechita, and meanwhile, in between, a second person is standing there and wiping
it off.
We said over there, we had a machlokas. Yeah, we said in principle, the halacha is that for a behema gasa, it's a larger amount, for a behema daka, and for an oif, a smaller amount. So we said the amount of time it takes to stand up the animal and lay it down and shecht it. But that's in principle, that's the standard. However, we said over there that Rashi learns that maybe Rav is machmir on that, at least in the case of birds, and Lamaisa, that Amos says we're machmir, and we finally pass along any kind of shiya. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is, over here, we don't have to worry about all that. Either, according to the opinions, that you have a longer amount of time, but even the opinions, you have a shorter amount of time. It necessarily takes a fraction of a second between one simen and the next. So therefore, okay, during that fraction of a second, somebody else is standing there and wipes off the blood. And then you shechted the second simen. So now that's the machlokes. Rebbe Savar Yeshna L'Shchita Mitzchilav Ad Sof. The Rebbe holds the Shchita process, the entire Shchita process is considered all one long thing. Therefore, the Haidam Shchita. So it comes out, therefore, this blood, even though it came out earlier in the Shchita process, before the Shchita was complete, where if he had stopped at that point, hello, it would have been a possible Shchita. However, because if he had stopped after the first dinner, it would be a possible Shchita, right? You need two simanim. But because he has, because Yeshna L'Shchita Mitzchila Vada Tzayis, therefore V'hai Dam Shchita, who therefore this can be considered blood of Shchita, Rav Chiyah Sava, Eina L'Shchita Ela B'Tzayis, Rav Chiyah would hold, as we had this Macholikas a few days ago, that the Shchita, only the end of the Shchita is considered significant, so therefore by the time of the end of the Shchita, the blood's already been wiped off. In other words, Rav Chiyah would say, Rav Chiyah would say that when you started shechting, that's not considered shchita yet. It's considered dam magefa. It's again, it's considered the blood of a womb. And he established before that the blood of wounds is not machshav kabel tumah, only blood of shchita or whatever. So therefore, dam chalavim. So therefore, so Rav Chiyah will say therefore that this blood is not machshav kabel tumah.
What happened? You shecht enough to be machshav, not the whole thing, and enough to be kosher and you go farther. It's kosher anyhow. You mean to tell me?
Fine. Rav Chiyah would say the end of the part that's considered a valid shchita. Yeah. Right. The truth is on it. Okay. And therefore, for my toilet. So what is it? So actually, before we continue with that, there's an interesting point that the Mepharshim bring up. We have this machlokas already of yeshna l'shchita matzil about so. We have Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish arguing about it. Why are they arguing about it? If Rebbe and Rav Chiyah are arguing about it. Plus, also, we had Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish back on that Kaf Tes.
In time,
they were the next generation. So why are they repeating the same machlokas? Okay, you have explanations, for example, the Chazon Ish, who wants to say it's not really the same machlokas. It's not really the same machlokas. The Gemara is using the same terminology, Yeshna L'Shchita Mitzchila Ad Sof versus not. But they're not really arguing over the same point. Because even Rish Lakish wasn't necessarily saying over there at the beginning of the Shchita doesn't count at all. He was saying, in certain cases, we ignore it. So he wasn't saying it's a blanket statement. We agreed then. The Gemara said right over there that even Rish Lakish would agree, for example, when you have a Goy Shech in the first Siman, for example, that is significant, that you don't say Ein Elah Shchita Elah L'Shchita in that. The point is, we see that there were certain cases, even with a Yid, whereas over here we seem to be saying that Rav Chiyah is saying the beginning of the Shchita B'chlal doesn't count at all, and the blood that comes out of it is not considered blood of Shchita at all. So arguably, you could say it's not really the same. Machlokas Sigma is just using the same expression. But then you have okay, nevertheless, sometimes you use the same expression in two different senses. However, you have other explanations. For example, the Tosfos HaRosh, there's a very simple explanation. The machlokas over there was where something changed in the middle of the Shchita. Over there, what did you have? A Goy shechted one siman or a Yid shechted the other. Okay, we said that's not where they're arguing about. But we said, for example, one second. We said, for example, over there, we shechted one siman inside the Azara and one outside it or whatever. So those are the kinds of things where they can be arguing about whether the second siman goes together with the first or not. Here, there was no change in the Shchita itself. The only change is the blood was wiped off in between. So Rav Chiyah can be saying that's enough. So it's not Ein Elah Shchita. When Rav Chiyah says Ein Elah Shchita Ela B'Tzayis, he's not saying the same. He's not saying exactly the same thing as Rish Lakish was talking about over there. Rish Lakish was talking about where there was some kind of change in the status of the animal itself or in the status of the Shchita between one part and the next. Here, Rav Chiyah is talking about the as far as the blood of it, whether when there was no change in the Shchita itself. Where then, presumably, Rish Lakish would have to agree that the beginning of the Shchita and the end of the Shchita go together, because they're all part of the same process. Nevertheless, Rav Chiyah would say over there that the blood of the beginning of it doesn't count. Okay. Be that as it may.
Well, he was only doing the Shchita. He was continuing to move backwards and forward.
No, well, the point is, but he did one of it in the Azara and one out of the Azara,
He could have continued shechting when he...
That's fine. Nevertheless, the fact is that one, they're in different places.
Interrupting himself.
No, he's not interrupting nothing. First of all, again, even if he is interrupting, it could be short enough that it's not a problem of Shahia. But again, he's not interrupting anything necessarily. It was wiped off by somebody else. Or even it was wiped off by somebody else. That's what I said. But there's no Shia. I didn't say it was a Shia. I said there could be a Shia, there could be not.
How could it be a Shia if he's continuing to shit?
Because it could be that he stops, wipes it off and continues, but it wasn't long enough for Shia. Or it could be that somebody else does. The point is, it's still one long Shita. It's still one long Shita where there's no status, there's no change in the status of the animal or in the status of the Shita between one Simon and the next, as opposed to over there is, because one is inside the Azara and one is out. So then we have to say, so in that case, when Rav Chiya says tolin, it can't mean tolin in the usual sense that we have a suffix about the status of this pumpkin, whether it's mukhshal kabel truma or not, because according to what Rav Chiya is saying, it's not a matter of a suffix. He says for a fact that it's not.
Let me ask you a question. The blood went onto the pumpkin.
Yes.
He didn't have the kavana for the blood on the pumpkin. How can it be mukhshal truma?
Ah, okay. Fair point,
he really didn't have that kavana.
First of all, he might have. Let's say he did have that kavana. Yeah, let's say, for example, he did have that kavana. I'm not sure, actually, when it comes to the other mashkim, I'm not sure if you need kavana as much as you do with water. But there's also the consideration for water or any other liquid to be matched with a kabel truma. It has to be that you, part of the thing is, it's not so much the matter that you wanted this particular thing to become wet. A big part of it is, did you want this water or blood or what have you to be detached from where it was? And you did, because you're shechting the animal, you want the blood to come out. So therefore, the fact that it landed on this pumpkin accidentally may be neither here nor there, because it's one thing with water, let's say, when you have fruit out in the rain, you didn't intend for the rain, you didn't cause the rain to fall. So the question is whether you left out the fruit there deliberately, whether you want it to get wet or not. But if you're causing, if you want to pour out some water, for example, then yeah, it'll be machshel lekabel truma.
Okay. But yeah, obviously if you're chef, you expect blood to go out.
You not only expect you want the blood to go out.
You want the blood to go out, but you don't want the blood to grow on a pumpkin.
First of all, you might. But second of all, I'm not completely sure about that, but I think it may be that as long as you want it, as long as the mashke is to lost the rostone, then it may be enough. But I'd have to review the Mishnayos and Makshirin to see about that. All right. Anyway, let's go on. So, umay tolin. So what does Rav Chiya mean when he says tolin? He doesn't mean in the usual sense of tolin that we have a suffix, what to do with the pumpkin. It means tolin adovrad mashkita. He just means the matter is in suspense until we finish the shkita. If the blood is still there on the pumpkin when he finishes the shkita, makshir, then it is makshir lekabel truma. V'iloy, and if not, loy makshir, then it's not makshir lekabel truma.
If it's not there when he finishes.
Yeah, because then Rav Chiya said that ain't the shkita all the time. Yeah. So then what does Rav Oshia mean when he says regarding this machlokes, we have to rely on Rav Shimon? What do you mean? The fact is, Rav Shimon loy machshel, Rav Chiya machshel. There's a big difference between them, because according to Rav Shimon, blood of shchita is never machshel. According to Rav Chiya, it's there at the end of the shchita, it's machshel.
So what does he
say? So what does he say? Boyu Rav Shimon, right. As if like Rav Shimon is going to help us to support Rav Chiya. Yeah. The answer is, what he means is, fine, but in this particular case, where the blood did get wiped off, the fact is Rav Shimon and Rav Chiya both come out saying the exact same din for different reasons. But the fact of the matter is, Rav Shimon says the pumpkin is not mukshal kabel truma because he says blood of shchita is not makshir. Rav Chiya says it's not mukshal kabel truma because it's blood from the beginning of the shchita, which wasn't present there at the end. It's considered only dam maka, and it's not makshir.
Because
it says only blood of shchita. So therefore, the bottom line is, both of them are saying that's not makshir. Havalei Rebbe Chav. So you wind up, says Rav Oshia, that Rebbe comes out to be only one opinion. So the two, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, even though they're coming from different perspectives, nevertheless, they have the majority.
And therefore,
that's what Rav Oshia is arguing, that given that we have Rebbe and we have Rav Chiya, and therefore we have a deadlock, we'll use Rav Shimon to break the deadlock. Because in this particular case, it comes out that Rav Shimon and Rav Chiya agree on the practical bottom line din, even though they argue on the reason behind it. That's not Moshe Lekabel Shomar. Right. Okay. Rav Ashi says that's not what it means. Tolin la'olam mashma. No, the word tolin has its usual meaning. It means that you're tolin forever. It means this pumpkin is in a state of suspense in principle forever. The next time it touches tuma, we don't know whether it's tome or not.
The next time?
Well, because right now it's only mukshal lekabel tuma. It's not yet tome. But when tuma touches it, it'll be in a status of tolin.
Well,
that's a, no. When Rav Chiya said tolin, he means tolin in the usual sense. What it means is, Rav Ashi says, v'niskaneach l'rabchiyah sapuki mesapkilei, when the blood was wiped off between one siman and another, which we just said, according to the Papa's explanation, Rav Chiya is certain that it's not mashal l'kabal tumah. Rav Ashi says, no, in that case, Rav Chiya has a suffix. Yeshna l'shchita miskil avad tzoyf, or yeshna l'shchita el avad tzoyf. And therefore, that's what he means, tzoyf. Or my tzoyf, so what does he mean, tzoyf? In the usual sense. Yeah, well, in the sense, loy ochlin v'loy tzoyfin. We can't eat this pumpkin. Because we're machmir, because again, if afterwards some actual tumah touched it, sheret, let's say, so we have to be tolim. We can't eat it because it might be tumah smeya. We can't burn it because it might be tumah tahora, and you're not allowed to do that. So we have to leave it in the sense. Umay boyu v'nismach al divrei Rav Shimon. So again, we have to ask then, what does Rav Oshia mean that we're going to follow, we're going to rely on Rav Shimon to break the deadlock? Again, it seems to be not the same thing. With Rav Shimon like Machshir, according to Rav Shimon, the pumpkin is b'chalal not mukhshar l'kabel tumah because blood of shchita, and he says that doesn't help. And according to Rav Chiya, seika. And according to Rav Chiya, it's a suffix, according to Rav Ashi's explanation. The answer is leaning today for whether it's Machshir, right? The answer is leaning today for miu shavu l'adavi. Again, we could answer that there is at least one area of agreement between Rav Shimon and Rav Chiya. Rebbe will say that because this pumpkin is definitely mukshal l'kabel tumah because of the blood, even though it was wiped off between the one siman and another.
Why is it mukshal l'kabel tumah?
Because that was what Avraham Moshe asked before, but I think part of the answer has to do with that the blood came out l'rotzon, and that might be enough. Again, I'll have to look that point up, but anyway, the point is, leaving that matter of rotzon and not rotzon aside, Rebbe holds that blood of shchita is able to be makshir even if it was from only the beginning part of the shchita and it was wiped off before the end. Therefore, according to Rebbe, if a sheret touches the pumpkin or what have you, some source of tumah, it'll definitely be tumah. No question about it. Again, forget Reb Shlokish and Reb Yisrael. That was a side point that we brought. He holds that yeshna l'shchita mitzkil avad tzoyf. Right. He holds that the blood from the beginning of the shchita is also considered blood of shchita. The Rebbe will definitely hold that when tumah touches the pumpkin after that, it will be tumah and you will burn it, as you do with Trumas Meir. Yeah. Rav Chiya is saying you don't because of a suffix. So it comes, and Rav Shimon is also saying you don't because according to him it's not Tomei at all. So that's the point. L'inyan today from Yerushal Adavi. When it comes to do you burn this pumpkin if it touched Trumah, then Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon are agreeing. Mar lo starfe or mar lo starfe. Rav Chiya is saying don't burn it, and Rav Shimon is also saying don't burn it. For different reasons.
It's a suffix.
Again, Rav Shimon is saying don't burn it because definitely not tumah. According to Rav Chiya, don't burn it because you don't burn tumah. That's a suffix. You only burn tumah that where you know it's tumah. Because otherwise, you're being over on a mitzvah to guard tumah.
But you cannot eat it either.
You can't eat it either. Fine. The point is, as far as straight, so they agree. Therefore, again, Havalei Rebbe Chad. So again, we could argue that Rebbe comes out as one opinion. The ain't one of Shalachat Makom Shnayim, and therefore he loses out to the two. Right. Okay. The Hachi Kamer and Sort of Ashi finishes up. This is what he means then when Rav Chiya says tolin kegain zois tolin. This is the kind of case where we're toila loy oichlin v'loy sokin, where we don't eat it and we don't burn it. Now what is being added? There, yeah. Now what's being added by that last line? Rashi says we don't even need that last line. It's just repeating what we just said before. But you have other explanations, including the Bala Mor, for example, says. Okay, but still, the Gemara doesn't.
Not the other.
Yeah, but okay, we knew already that tolin means loy oichlin v'loy sokin. Rashi said that's what it means. That's usually what tolin means. But no, one explanation is the Bala Mor explains kegoin zeis means that actually, look, a pumpkin is only chayiv in truma midrabanan, midaraita yam machlokas rishonim, whether it's only grain and grapes and olives that are chayiv in truma midaraita, or all fruit, but vegetables definitely only chayiv in truma midrabanan. So therefore, a case like this, where you're dealing with a pumpkin, is not really the case where we'd be toila anyway, because it's only a suffix midrabanan anyway, and we might be maple. Kegoin zeis, if you had a similar case involving some other fruit that was chayiv in terms of deraisa, then loy eichon loy sokin.
Which one of the machloekas deraisa?
You have a machloekas, I think. You have a machloekas rishonim about it. If I remember, everybody agrees vegetables only dirabon. If I remember correctly, and I may have it, and I may have names wrong, I think something about vegetables. That's what I'm saying. Only chayiv dirabon. Deraisa, you have a machloekas. If I remember correctly, Rashi says that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv deraisa. And according to the Rambam, all foods are chayiv deraisa. I may have that backwards. I don't remember. But whatever. Anyway, the point is that everybody agrees that pumpkins and other vegetables only chayiv dirabon. Okay.
Fine. That's what's in
the deraisa. Yeah. Peace and serve them. It's perfect. Only mentions dog and cheetah. So the question is, does it mean other foods as well? Okay. New discussion. Boy Rish Lakish. Boy Rish Shimon and Lakish. Rish Lakish asked the question as follows. We actually had a good part of this discussion not so long ago in Menachos as well. It's also way back in Sukkot. Okay. Boy Rav Shimon Lakish. Sorid Shamanachos. the dry part of a korban mincha. We learned in Menachos that a mincha is made out of flour, and usually it has oil mixed in, but you have sometimes bits of flour that didn't get wet with oil. So if they're not wet with oil, they're not mukshal lekavel tumah. However, the question is, moinin bo rishin v'sheni, or ein moinin bo rishin v'sheni? Do we say that if tumah touched them, they're tumah even to the extent where you have the rishin l'tumah and a sheni l'tumah, in other words, that they can be matame other food? Or maybe not. Maybe it's only that they're possible to use as a korban, but they're not matame other food.
The tzarich of the menachah.
Sorry, it means the dry part of a menachah.
What does that mean?
It means the dry part. Exactly what I just said. You mix the mincha with oil, but inevitably not all of it gets mixed with the oil. You mix in oil with the flour, but inevitably you have parts of plants.
Okay.
In other words, not necessarily you learned in menachas that you have menachas that are brought raw.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the question.
That's a minority,
The fact is, you have such a thing. So it's just point out, you have menachas that remain dry altogether. You have, for example, a minchas chote that remains dry altogether. So the question can be about that also.
No, it cannot be about it and completely dry. Why should it be?
Why? Because you still have it. The point of Rish Lakish's question is, this flour was not mukshal lekavel tumah, because it didn't touch any of the shiramash. So therefore, that's the question. Nevertheless, though, we know that there's a concept called chibas hakodesh, which we've talked about a number of times,
right.
Which is that, we talked about it just the other day, in fact, and then the whole sugya about shlishi, we said that you have a concept, either d'oraita or d'rabbanan, that's machlokes about that, whether things of kodesh that normally would not be able to be tameh under the usual rules are able to become tameh under a rule called chibas hakodesh, the preciousness of kodesh. It's a machlokes whether d'oraita or d'rabbanan. You have a pasuk about it that mentions v'habotar and the garishin from that, but the question Rashi and Tosfos discussed earlier and in various other places, whether it's a full-fledged limud d'oraita or whether it's just an asmachta. Whatever it is, there is this concept of chibas hakodesh. So therefore, for example, even let's say wood and laboina, which are not food b'chlal, they shouldn't be mukshal lekabel, they shouldn't be able to become tamei under the normal rules, but because of chibas hakodesh they can. So Rish Lakish is asking, how far does that rule extend? Does it extend only to say, okay, they themselves are possible, so you can't use this flour for the mincha, but if it touches other flour or other meat of kodeshim or what have you, it's not going to be a tamei. Or maybe it will. That's the question. Moinin bo rishin v'sheni or not? The question is, ki mahanya chibas hakodesh?
It's only about menachas. It could be about kodshim also.
It could be in, well, okay, so let's say if you're talking about meat of kodshim, when you shecht the animal, blood will come out. If blood didn't come out, you can't offer any blood on the mizbeach. Once blood comes out on some part of it, the whole animal is connected together, yes.
Okay.
So that's the question. Ki mahanya chibas hakodesh le'sule gufe. Maybe you say that chibas hakodesh is only effective on kodshim, that the thing itself that became tamei will be possible to use as a korban. L'mimne me'bushin v'sheni loy. But to say that we're going to go so far as counting degrees of tumah from it, that if able to be matame other food, loy, maybe not, ojom aloshna. Or maybe once you say it's able to become tamei, then it has all the usual rules, the food that can become tamei.
Loshna
is no different. It is exactly the same as right here. Armor of Allah, the Toshma, so the Allah says, come, I'll bring you a proof. A Braita says, when the Pasuk says, Mikola Oichal Asher Ye'achal B'Gemer, the Pasuk says that any food that could be eaten, which touches water, or any of the other Mashkim, can become Tomei, implying Oichal Ababa Mayim Pukshir, the only food that came into water, or that touched water, or whatever, is Mukshal Akabal Tumma. Oichal She'en Ababa Mayim Lai Pukshir, if it didn't come into water, it's not Mukshal Akabal Tumma. So there you go. It didn't come into water, so there's nothing to throw. Or any of the Shiva Mashkin, because it's dry. Fine. Mine means any of the Shiva Mashkin for the story.
You sure of that?
Yeah, we know about that. Yeah, we're one of the way. Once it applies to one, then yeah. The point is, so nothing here. It didn't come into Mayim, it didn't come into Shemin, because it's dry, so therefore it's not with him. Mar says, what do you mean? Altered of Shim and Lakish left la Urkal above Mayim? Rish Lakish knows that Pasuk and knows that limit perfectly well. Rav Shimon Lakish, Hachi Kami Bayalim. All Rish Lakish is asking is, when it comes to Kodshim, Chibas HaKodesh Ka'oichal Ababa Mayim Domi Eloi. Does Chibas HaKodesh take the place of coming into water or not? When we say, yes, of course we have this pasuk that it has to come into water, or one of the Shiva Mashkin, to become Mukshal HaKabal Tumah, does Chibas HaKodesh completely substitute for that or not? So Rabbi Lazar's proof is irrelevant. So what is Rabbi Lazar bringing it in? So the answer is Rabbi Elazar Nami Mi Turi Kroi Kamar. Okay, Rabbi Elazar knew perfectly well, of course, that Rish Lakish knows that. Why is he bringing this pasuk and this braisa? Because he's figuring like this. You have extra words, you have extra psukim that you have available over here for a drasha. Now let's consider. You have a pasuk. The pasuk starts off, V'chi yutan mayim al zera. You have in those psukim over there in Parashat Shmini, we're talking about the whole concept of Tumas Arachin. So it starts by saying that any edible food, if water comes on it, is able to be mekabel Tumah. Then you have a couple of psukim later. It says v'chiyutan mayim alzera. If water is placed on seeds, then there or any other food, then it's mukshel mekabel Tumah. So once we have that pasuk, we call it oichal asher ya'achol lamali. Why do we need the earlier pasuk? We call it oichal asher ya'achol. Any food that's edible, that water comes on, that he could eat, that water comes on it, it's tameh, because we know that already from the other pasuk.
So, yutan.
Yeah.
Yutan means
moish. Yutan when water is placed on it. Lav lamotzi chivas hakodesh. So Rabbi Elazar would say, obviously, the extra pasuk must teach us that, yes, there is a concept, may well be a concept of chilas HaKodesh, but it doesn't apply as far as saying that it will be exactly like it was Moshe Lekabel Tuma to the extent that can be metame other food. So therefore, we have a second pasuk that tells us that not. So that's why he's bringing this pasuk and this drasha to Rish Lakish. Not that Rish Lakish doesn't know that you need water to be Moshe Lekabel Tuma. But Rabbi Elazar is saying you have two psukim expressing this idea. So obviously one of them teaches us the basic concept of water and the Shiva Mashkim are Machshel Kabel Tumah, and the other one is telling us only water or the Shiva Mashkim, not Chivas HaKodesh. The most that Chivas HaKodesh could do is make this thing itself will be possible to bring out the Kodesh.
I mean,
the Chivas HaKodesh, I mean the preciousness of Kodesh, the fact that things that are Kodesh that don't follow the usual rules, like Eitzim or Levoina or flour that didn't become wet or whatever, they can become possible, but they can't be Mekame or
it's what? It's
we just said you have to start. Yeah, that's what we said. That's what Rav Elazar is arguing. And the answer is no. Loi. Rav Shlokish would say that's not what the extra pasuk is teaching us. Rather, chad b'tumas nes v'chad b'tumas sheres. No, the two psukim are talking about two different. Rav Shlokish would answer that no, one of these psukim, neither one of these psukim is necessarily excluding chivas hakodesh. Maybe once you have the concept of chivas hakodesh, that you have things that are not normally able to become tomei, are able to become tomei on the grounds of being kodshim. Maybe therefore it applies across the board, even to the extent of rishon and sheni. What about your two psukim? One of them teaches us that this rule of needing water applies to Tumas Nes, and the other one applies to Tumas Sheres. And the point is, we would need both of those, the Iyashin and Tumas Nes, because we were only told one pasuk, and we were saying that it was regarding Tumas Nes, that the food needs to get wet first. We would say, Hosam Hudibari Hesher, you know why? In order for food to be Tomei, to be able to become Tomei from Tumas Nes, why does it need to get wet first? Is because you see there's a certain kula in Tumas Nes over a sheret. Mishum de loy metame v'kadosha. Because a mess, you need a larger amount of a mess to be metame. You need a kazayas rather than a sheret. All you need is kadosha, is a lentil sign. Aval sheret, but a sheret, which has a chumra over Tumas Nes, the metame v'kadosha, because even a lentil sized piece of a dead sheret is metame. Aim aloy the boy hexer. Maybe then we should be machmir and say that even if food did not get wet, and a lentil five piece of a sheret touches it, it becomes tummy, maybe. So therefore we need to tell us that it applies to a sheret. The Iyashmin and sheret, and if we were told only the other way around, that it applies only to a sheret, you would say, yeah, but a sheret has a kula over Tumas Nes. Mishum the lemis tamme Tumas Shiva. Person touches a sheret, they don't become tummy for 7 days, they only tummy for 1 day until they go to the mikvah. Oh yeah, they just need tumma, they just need mikvah and have a shemesh. Have a mess in the tamme Tumas Shiva, but a mess, person touches a mess, they're tummy for 7 days. Aim a low the by hechsher. So maybe therefore we have a chumrah there. Maybe we should apply another chumrah and say that food is mukshel kabel tumah even without getting wet first. And that's why we need both sukkim. So therefore, Rish Lakish would say neither one of these sukkim is telling us anything about chivas hakodesh.
Because of the concept, come 7 days, there's no sooner. I would say there's not mukshel kabel tumah.
No, we would think that maybe because Tumas Sheres has a kula, because it's not in the tamei for 7 days, maybe therefore that requires the food to get wet first, but maybe Tumas Nes doesn't. On the other hand, Tumas Sheres, you have a smaller amount, makes you tamei. So Rish Lakish would say, both those sukkim are teaching us the basic concept that food needs to be wet in order to become tameh, with either kind of trauma, sheref or mess, and once we have by then it applies to all the other traumas as well. Neither one is saying anything about chibas hakodesh, so therefore you may well have chibas hakodesh, once we know there is such a concept, that wood and laboina can become tameh even though they're not food, that dry flour of menachas can become tameh even though it never became wet, maybe it would apply across the board, maybe it can actually be metameh other food. Or maybe not. That's Rish Lakish's topic.
And how would Rebbe is there?
Rebbe Elazar answers that. I don't need two psukim, one for meth and one for shekh. That's the thing. Rebbe Elazar says one of them teaches us the basic din that is that food needs to be wet to be makabel any kind of trauma, and the other one teaches us chivas hakodesh may be enough to make something possible, but not trauma. You still need it to become wet. Okay. The halacha is we haven't finished the discussion yet. We haven't finished the discussion yet. The halacha is actually that we stick with what with Rish Lakish's topic, and therefore in fact it's the topic. Okay, well, let's go on. Masiv Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, I have a contradiction to this whole idea. We learned in our Mishnah of Shimon Oma Hochshur B'Shchita. We said that when a person shechts an animal and no blood came out, we said in our Mishnah of Shimon says that the meat became Mokshur L'Kabal Tuma just by the Shchita, implying Hochshur V'Asul L'Mimnu B'Hurushin B'Sheni, which means apparently Rav Shimon at least is saying it's Mokshur L'Kabal Tuma, and he doesn't specify whether he means just that it's, and it can't mean that it's a possible, one second, it can't just mean that it's possible for a korban, because we already established earlier, a couple of days ago, that we're talking about cholin over here. But obviously, hukshur must mean that moinin bo rishin v'sheni. It must mean that it becomes, that if now a sheret touches it, it becomes a rishin, and if that meat touches something else, it becomes a sheni, etc. Means that we count that this food is now a rishin, and it can create a sheni, and so forth, yeah. So obviously, therefore, according to the shimon, so again, you could ask, amai v'holav oichol above mine. Okay, but it didn't actually touch water, because the fact of the matter is that it was shechted and no blood came out. So the halacha may or may not be like Rav Shimon. That's not the point. The point is that if you're telling me it's such an obvious thing that water, that food needs to be in water, and if not, it's not makabel truma. And according to the Elazar, never, not even a chibas hakodesh. And even according to Rish Lakish, you have a suffix in the case of chibas hakodesh, but otherwise not. So over here, you have a case where you have food that never touched any of the Shiva Mashkin, and yet Rav Shimon is telling us that it's Mokshul Kabal Choma, even to the extent of Rishon V'Sheni. Amalei Abaya, Abaya answers, okay, so who can hechsha mine Midrabanan? Fine, but we could argue that Midrabanan, they made it, Rav Shimon would say they made it the equivalent of as if it touched water. So fine, it would mean therefore that we wouldn't, if later on, so now, if this meat, for example, so we have... What? No. Well, he's saying that, fine, based on what Rav Elazar brought, that the fact is, leaving aside Chibas HaKodesh, definitely food needs to become wet to be Mokshul L'Kabal Tuma. It didn't become wet over here, so the only possibility is it's a Din D'Rabbanan. But what would that mean? The fact that it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, Rashi says, means, therefore, so now, if let's say this meat of this animal, which now, let's follow the steps. It was shechted, no blood came out. Rav Shimon is saying it's still Mokshul L'Kabal Tuma. Now, if a sheref touches this meat, then midrabanan is a rishon. Now, let's say that meat touches truma or kachim. So, if it was a truma daraisa, we would say we burn those kachim. Because it's only a truma midrabanan, then it's another one of those cases of tolin, where we leave the truma or kachim alone, and we can't eat it, but we can't burn it because it's only a truma midrabanan. That would be that's the concept that when you have in general when you have something that's tamei only midrabanan, we don't burn them. But truma, a sheret is truma daraisa, but again, yeah. the fact whether this meat is mokshal kabel truma or not, according to Rav Shimon, according to Rabbaya is explaining over here, even Rav Shimon is saying it's only mokshal midrabanan. The Chum is saying it's without blood, yeah. Okay, so no proof from that. Okay. Amr Abdeda Toshma, that Abdeda says, I'll bring a proof from another case. We learn in it, that we see another example where something is not Mokshul L'Kabal Tuma, and where something didn't go through the usual process of being Mokshul L'Kabal Tuma, it didn't get wet with one of the Shiva Mashkin, and it's still able to become Tomei. We have a braisa. We learned it in Avodah Zarah actually a while back, but also habotzelagach. If somebody harvests grapes intending to go and press them in a wine press, so are they mukshal lekabel tumah or not? Shammai omer chuchsha. Shammai says they are mukshal lekabel tumah. Now, a lot of times, you have grapes that you harvested. You have, at the time of the harvest, sometimes juice comes out of them. Now, the juice is one of the shiva mashkin. However, again, it's not lagosa. He doesn't necessarily want that any juice should come out of them because he wants to be able to press them and get the maximum amount of juice out in the wine press. Nevertheless, Shammai says it's mukshal lekabel tumah. No, it's not impossible necessarily. No,
it's not saying you could be possible.
It's possible, but nevertheless, it wasn't l'rothin. There was no question it wasn't l'rothin. Nevertheless, Shammai holds that it is mukshal lekabel tumah on the basis of, Rashi says, Rashi brings from the Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about this. The reason is, the Gemara gives a few possible reasons over there, but one of them, which Rashi brings over here, is the person might normally, let's say that what happens, the person is harvesting the grapes in baskets. So any juice that comes out of them is just going to go to waste. So he doesn't want it to come out, because the more that comes out, the more is going to just drip through the baskets and go to waste, and he doesn't want that. But sometimes you have a person will try to save that juice that more or less inevitably comes out during the harvest. What he'll do is he'll use baskets for the harvest that are lined with tar to make them waterproof. Plastic, not in modern terms, but mizufafos is the expression in the Gemara, which means they're lined with tar. And then
it doesn't permeate.
So then any liquid that comes out of the grape is lagosin, because then he doesn't mind if it happens while he takes a basket with lined with tar and starts harvesting the grapes into there. So Shammai makes a gzeira on that basis. Shammai says, therefore, we make a gzeira on that basis that even if he's not using such baskets, even if he's using the regular kind of baskets that don't have tar, nevertheless, we're still going to say these grapes are mukshal lekabel tumah.
Without tar even?
Even without the tar, right.
What's his logic?
His logic is shema yiftaren over kupas mizupafis, that he might harvest it into such baskets. The point is that Shammai says, therefore, so even in a case where it's not mukshal lekabel tumah in the normal way, he still says it is. Hillel and Eloy Mukshar, Hillel argues, says they're not, but the upshot was, that Hillel ended up being quiet and agreeing with Shammai that after all, this is a valid Zera, and we have to do it.
He was quiet when?
Yeah, at that discussion, the Gemara tells the story in Shabbos over there that Shammai had this argument, Habotzelagach Mukshar, Hillel argues that not, and they go back and forth on it, and then Hillel is coupled to Yosef with Shammai, whatever, and the upshot was that Hillel ended up conceding to Shammai. So again, so the halacha is like Shammai. So therefore, Amai, again, you could ask the question, why? Again, the fact of the matter is, it didn't become mukshal lekabel tumah in the usual way. So, again, because it's not necessarily in tar-lined baskets. It's in regular baskets, where he doesn't want juice to come out, therefore it's not l'rotzon. So, the answer is, Amalei Abaye, after Ukech Shammai Midrabanan. Same answer, you could say that the Rabbanan imposed on it as if it was mukshar in water. Again, for the reason that we said, because of corpus mizufafis, because he might instead use baskets for tar. I mean, obviously, Rabbi Yosef also, who asked the question, knew that the whole concept is the Rabbanan, but he figured that if you don't ever find such a concept daraisa, then how can the Chachamim impose such a thing? So Abai is telling him, you see that the Chachamim can do that. Okay. Fine. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef says in that case, what's the relevance of what you're telling me? Amina lachano hukshru b'shchita. I'm mentioning to you this case of our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon says that the meat is mukshal lekabel tumah because of the shchita. You're answering me that the reason is because it's only midrabanan, because they consider it as if water came on them. But Amalach Rab Zera, then Rab Zera asks you, one second. But Amalach Rab Zera, Rab Zera brings you from the Habotza Lagas, Va'amitle Asa'uhu Keach Shemayim. So what's the problem? So what's Rish Lakish's problem in the first place? Why is Rish Lakish even asking the question? If you're going to answer every time, then Rosh Lakish has a very simple answer to his question also. Rosh Lakish is coming to us with a topic. Do we say, when it comes to sorted shal menachos, the dry flour of menachos, whether we count Rishon and Sheni in it? You're telling me, Abaye, that there are cases, for example, the Shchita, and for example, Abotza Lagas, where yes, the Chachamim apply the full rules of Hechshel Lekabel Tumah, including Rishon and Sheni, even though it didn't have the regular thing. if the answer is so simple, Rish Lakish could have used the same answer also. Why does he have a suffix? Obviously, in the case of the Soda Chomanachas, the fact that he has means that your answer is not so simple to take your answer.
The fact that he has the suffix.
Armolay, so Habaya answers, also Rav Shimon and Lakish, this light's coming by a light. You know what? But Rish Lakish's question is not, should we keep this Soda Chomanachas in a state of suspense? Yeah, because if his question was that, then you're right, you'd have a point. How could he, why does he have a question? Whether you keep it in a state of suspense? Obviously, midrabanan, we make it tumah, and any time you have a tumah midrabanan involving tumah and kachim, automatically it means tolerant. But yeah, obviously, then, yeah. But that's not his question. He's coming very little this way. Rish Lakish is asking the question, if the Sarid Shamanachos was touched a sheretz or what have you, and became maybe or maybe not a rishon l'torah, and then it touches some other, or it itself, for example, do you burn it or not? If it's tameh, you do. If you don't, you don't. The shlok is not asking about the question of tovim, because then you can say that's tameh midrabanan. He's asking on a daraisa level of the tameh, do you burn it or not? Well, if he's asking on a daraisa level, obviously, yeah, the answer that after uhu keach remind midrabanan is not going to work in that case. So fine, I can use my answer, says Abaya, for the case of shchita of onishna, and for the case of abosa lagas, because those can be thought of as dinim derabanan, but Rish Lakish is asking on a daraisa level.
Well, we know that in daraisa. What
do you mean? We don't know. We don't know. Rish Lakish is asking, does chibas hakodesh have an effect daraisa to be able to make that this sorted chamanachos is not only puzzle itself, but that it can be metame other foods? So actually, okay, the question shouldn't be about the mincha itself. So let's say, for example, again, you have the sorted chamincha, a shedeth touched it. We know now that it's possible on the grounds of Chibas HaKadosh. Now, later on, that flour touches, let's say, some meat from a korban. Does it make it a sheni or not? If it makes it a sheni, midaraisa, we would have to burn it. If it doesn't, then the most we could do is tolin. Rish Lakish is asking, would you burn that meat of the korban or not? Burning implies that we're talking about a din daraisa.
We know that the Hashem mincha becomes
tameh. We know that shmincha itself became possible. Yes, because of Chibas HaKadosh. Is it metame or not? Right. So if it touches the meat later on, is it metame or not?
According to Inyan of Chibas HaKodesh, you would have to say it's metame.
No, that's the Rish Lakish's question. Does Chibas HaKodesh, without Chibas HaKodesh, it wouldn't become tame or possible, nothing. So the question is, does Chibas HaKodesh make it that it's only possible, or it itself is tame, but it's not metame, or do they make that it's metame, other things as well? Why? Maybe Chibas HaKodesh itself is quite a chiddush, that you should say this flour never touched any of the Shiva Maskim, and you're going to tell me because a sheretz touched it, it's no good. Is it strong enough, is that concept strong enough to say that on daraisa level, we should go even as far as that it can be metame other food of kodshim? Not necessarily.
In the other case, Chibas HaKodesh was about, what was it but about?
We have, for example, about that wood and laboina that of hekdush are able to become tame even though they're not food. That was one example. So yeah, we know there's a concept of Chibas HaKodesh. The question is it valid on such a level that we would say even literally? Okay.
In other words, there's no automatic conclusion that because the Mincha is Tame, necessarily the Kodesh
that it touched is Tame, exactly.
Would be Tame.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think so.
Maybe yes, maybe not. Rabbi Lazar is arguing to Rish Lakish definitely not, because there was no Hechsher Mayim, and therefore the maximum that you could do is say that it itself is possible. Rish Lakish isn't sure. Abaya is saying, fine, on a Derabbanan level, he could be sure, based on my answer, but we're not asking on a Derabbanan level, we're asking on a
Derabbanan.
That's the thing, because first Rabbi Yosef and then Rabbi Zera were asking from cases where we see that without Hechsher Mayim it's Mekabel Tumah, but those cases are both involving Kulin. So fine, Abaya can answer. Abaya can answer that they are the Chachamim imposed it, and therefore it's Dirabanan. But that wouldn't necessarily apply to the case of, yes.
That's not the right question.
Right, exactly. Okay. So the question is, Miklal the Chibas HaKodesh Daraisa. Okay, so the implication of this whole discussion seems to be that Chibas HaKodesh is something that exists on a Daraisa level. Well, the question is Manolan. Where do we get that from? Could it be because you have, because based on this discussion, if we're asking whether it has an effect daraisa to the extent of being metameh or not, yeah. Obviously it means we accept that the basic concept that it is daraisa. So are we getting it from the fact that the pasuk says veha basar ashiyiga b'chol tameh, the meat of a korban that touches anything tameh has to be burnt, and you would ask, high bosa de iskasha b'mai. He would ask, what made this meat able to be mukshal lekabel tuma? Ilema de iskasha b'dam. Are you going to think that maybe it became mukshal lekabel tuma through the blood that came out when it shechted? Can't. How do we know that blood of Kodshim is not Machshel LeKabel Tumah? According to everybody, not just Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, this is everybody would agree that. Shenema, because you have a pasuk that says, Loi Techlenu, you should not eat the blood of an animal that you shecht, Alo Ardes Tishpachenu Kamoyim, you should pour it on the ground like water, implying, Dam HaNishpach Kamayim Machshel, only blood that's meant to be poured out like water, that you're not going to be sprinkling on the Zeach and afterwards, is Dam Chulim, is Machshel. She'ainin yishpach kamayin, blood that's not meant to be spilled like water, which is kodshim, because it's going to be sprinkled on the mezeach, ainin makshir. So therefore, so we could say so far that if the pasuk is telling us that meat of kodshim that touches tumah becomes tumah and has to be burned, obviously that teaches us the problem of chilas hakodesh. Maybe.
Because it cannot be from the dam.
Because it can't be from the dam, but wait, there's another possibility. Ela de iskashe b'mashke beis nefachaya. He would argue, okay, so it didn't become tummy with the blood of the shchita because we have a mirror on that. Maybe it became mukshal lekabel tumah because they washed it in beis nefachayim. After they shecht the korban, they washed the pieces of it with water in the other. Maybe that. No, because v'ha'omer of Yosef ben Chanina, because we know that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says as follows. Mashke beis mitzvachaya, the liquids that are used in the beis mitzvachayim, in the beis mitzvach, including the water that they use for this purpose, loy dayan shahin dochan, not only they are not metame, with that we know from something that dochan is from the Aramaic word dachia, which means pure, tar. They themselves are not able to be metame. So in other words, that water, some tumor, if some sheret or whatever touches that water, the water remains tar. And it can't be metame the kodshim.
It still remains
tar, dochan. Yeah. So you have.
It's not tame.
Okay, I should clarify that. You have a Gemara and so you have Yosi ben Ye'ezer, one of the earliest of the Tanoim, one of the first of the Zugis, says a Mishnah in Adius that Mashke beis mitzachaya dochan. The Gemara actually discusses in Sochim, does it mean that they themselves can become tame, but they can't be metame the meat, or does it mean they themselves are not tame? Whatever the point is, that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, they're not metame for sure, right? So Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says, "Loi dayan shein dochan." Not only they're not metame, ela shein machshirin. They're not even machshir the meat to be makabel tumah. So far, in other words,
that's one opinion. Maybe somebody else is saying it does.
No, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is telling us a fact, and it sounds like nobody disagrees with him. You might answer, okay, very simple. There are two kinds of mashkin that exist in the base of Mitzchayim. You have water and you have blood. Maybe Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is only talking about the blood. Maybe he's not talking about the water. Maybe the water is machshel lekabel tumah. No, it could be, maybe, but on the other hand, can't. He says mashkei, the liquids in the plural, meaning both the blood and the water. So neither of them is mashal lekabel tumah. Ela lav the iskasher b'chidat hakodesh. If nevertheless we have a pasuk that tells us that meat of a korban that touches tumah becomes tame, obviously the only, and can't be from the blood and can't be from the water, the only thing must be chidat hakodesh.
And that's
the Rabbanan. No, we're saying that's Chibat HaKodesh, we're saying that's what we're arguing over here. However, the Gemara says that's not a proof because the Dilma Kedir of Yehuda Amashmul. I could find a way where the meat of a korban is Mukhshal HaKabal Tumah without needing either the blood of the Shechita or the water of the Beit HaMikvachayim, without having to resort to Chibat HaKodesh, namely, the Dilma Kedir of Yehuda Amashmul, the Amr of Yehuda Amashmul. Suppose a person has a cow that was meant to be for a korban shlomim. The hevira banachal. Then, when he's on his way to the Beit Mikdash to offer it as a korban, he has it walk through a river, through a stream or whatever. And Rashi mentions why we think shlomim over here. First of all, because a shlomim, the owner keeps the skin, so therefore it's easier to peel off the skin afterwards if the animal was in water not long before it was shechted. So that's one reason why Dafka walks in a river. Also, Rashi says the pasuk that we're referring to, this pasuk, Rabbosa Ashiyiga, is talking about a shlomim, so therefore we're mentioning about a shlomim. The same thing would apply to any other carbon. Whatever, he walked it through a river, shachta, then he brings it to the Beit Mikdash, he shechts it, va'adayin mashka tefeyach alel. And at the time of the shechita, you still have, there's enough water on it that's considered wet, that's tefeyach amenach va'apiyach, to be mashka lekabel tumah. So that could be a case where it becomes mukshal lekabel tumah. You don't need to resort to chibat HaKodesh.
No proof in it. We can't say
because the pasuk tells us that meat of kodshim is able to become tameh, automatically that means chibat HaKodesh. No, because you can have the scenario. Ela Miseika. So maybe we can learn it from the end of that pasuk. The pasuk continues. The pasuk continues. Vehabosar, as that, and the meat, and then the whole word is extra. So the pasuk starts with Vehabosar Ashiyiga b'chotamei lo yachol b'eshitara. Vehabosar koltarho yehabosar. So this extra word Vehabosar. Lugabes eitzim olavina. It comes to include wood and levina if they're able to be makabel shomer. So eitzim olavina b'nei achila. No, you can't eat wood. You can't eat levina. Obviously, elachiba takodesh. Come on, it's not meat animal. Ela chibas hakodesh machshulahu. Obviously, chibas hakodesh is what machshulah mekabel tumah umeshavulahu oichol. So it makes them as if they were food. Hachanami. So the same thing. We can argue in this case that the sorid from menachos, this dry flour from the menachos, you could argue chibas hakodesh machshulah. Chibas hakodesh is enough. Like the levina and nathan. So now that we've established that, now comes your Shlokish's question. Once we establish that this sort of thing is Chibas HaKodesh, Midoraisa, Ki Mahanya Chibas HaKodesh is still a Degufe, do we say that it's only effective insofar as making the thing itself Tomei? Aval Mimnebe Rishon V'Shein Yiloi, but maybe not to the extent of being Metame by Rishon and Sheni, Odom Aloishna, or maybe not, and the answer is Teku. We don't know. So therefore, Rish Lakish's question is left open. So Rish Lakish's question is a good question, and in fact, it's left open. You actually have in two places, we have to finish off over here, we're already late for Meyers, but the Rambam in one place says that it's a sophist, and another, that it's a sophist, whether it's Metame or not, and in another place he says that it is. So what is it? The Kesef Mishnah says, one's talking about it when there's a Tumah D'oraisa, and the other's talking about when there's a Tumah D'rabbanan. Rish Lakish is asking when the thing itself became Tomei with a Tumah D'oraisa. But you could also ask a similar question, what if it became Tomei with a Tumah D'rabbanan, do we do Rish and Rishani instead? Fine, the Rish and Rishani will be as far as Toilin because the original Tumah was D'rabbanan. But nevertheless, you can still ask the question whether... That's the thing. So you have, Rish Lakish's topic would be, as we said, when it's D'oraisa. Yeah, so there's a takeaway, as the Gemara is saying. If the original Truma was D'rabbanan, then we have, then, fine, but that's the answer, in other words. So we're not there. In other words, when the original Truma was D'oraisa.